How you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Thursday, the 12th of December 2019, episode 210. Hope you're all keeping well, doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. It is a wet morning in southwest London. The time as I start recording is 11:30 hours. The leaf blower, they tend to be very regular. Every Thursday, they tend to be here around 13, 20 hours. Hopefully, I'll be done by then. I would imagine I'll be done by then. I'm hoping that 1,300 hours is a realistic finish time for this week's show. Hoping the voice lasts today. Back in hospital tomorrow to get the voice checked out. Quite fragile at the moment. The worst it's been for a couple of years. Got a bottle of water on my square desk. My frustratingly small square desk. Got my notes everywhere for this show. Those days of scripting tight half-hour shows are long gone. These are rough notes, and it frees me up to give you longer shows, especially for the Patreon supporters. The decade, another decade almost over, that premonition, if it was indeed a premonition that I had when I was just 8 years old, that I would live until 2053, that's starting to bother me now. It was all well and good spending the 1990s thinking I've got enough time to do things. I'm not dying until 2053, assuming that I'm not living forever. But now 2053 feels like it's just around the corner. Can see it coming now into sharp focus, and I do find it unsettling. The one plus of this decade being over, or this year actually, 2019 I should say, is I've mentioned before, I've got journals, notebooks I'll call them. Notebook sounds more English, maybe. I don't know, is journals an American English thing? Maybe not. My notebooks go back 30 years. And I was always told, date every single note that you make in these notebooks. And it is very useful because, you know, I might know what project I was working on 20 years ago, say 25 years ago even, in when it comes to the first ever script I wrote that has continued to defeat me for my entire writing career. I now think I'm finally ready to write it, but given the current block, not sure how realistic that is. So all my notebooks are dated. And I think assuming that I continue to be, or my work continues to fly below the radar until, you know, my final day on this planet, maybe some biographer will come along, discovers my work half a century from now. They're going through my notebooks if I've, you know, died abruptly. Because I think if I knew, as I've said before, if I knew that I had a bit of time on my hands, I wouldn't bother preparing a will. I'm not leaving anything behind. But the one thing I'm certainly not leaving behind are my notebooks. So I'd have to be clear that the diagnosis is correct. And see, this is the thing where it would be handy to live in Victorian times where you could just burn stuff in your fireplace. But I'd have to buy a shredder. My shredder, I used to have a shredder. I've had two, I think. The last one was awful, so I didn't bring it with me when I came to this flat. But I'd have to invest in a shredder and just shred everything. I'm not leaving my notebooks behind. But if I fail to get rid of them, it may be that any future biographers who trawled through the notebooks note the noughties heyday. You know, look at the back of the notebooks, my shopping list, and they note that, 2006, I started buying game from Waitrose in Putney. They'll see that I was buying The Guardian every day, and then they might come to the notebooks of this difficult decade and see that the podcasting period of my life saw me end up in German budget supermarkets. That's going to be the problem if I leave the notebooks behind. But the real problem, or one of several problems in relation to 2019, is that my nines do look like fives. More often than not, they do look like fives, and I think that will confuse biographers. All year, I've been aware of that. I've been thinking, that nine looks like a five. All year, I've told myself I need to address that. We are now, 19 days away from the worst day of the year? The worst day of the year, certainly for introverts. And the nines still look like five. Assuming that I'm still around circa 2029, and God knows where this show will be around 2029. But assuming I'm still around, hopefully come 2029, I'll have sorted out my nines. It's a packed show today. It may be that I have to drop items as I make my way through the show. Today it is election day in the UK. It's also the first anniversary of the drone appearing at my second floor window. I think it was last week, wasn't it? Or the week before. Episode 208 or 209, when I told you about the drone appearing at the window. It was a year ago today. General elections used to be a massive event in this country, as they should be. And I mean, I would go along with this being the most important election of our lifetime. I would accept that. I've got no problem with that. But the fact that it's a third general election in less than 5 years, it almost feels like we're like Italy now. It kind of feels like the FA Cup. It feels like the general election has been devalued. You know, the FA Cup in the 70s and 80s. I would say the cutoff point for the FA Cup was 1990. I think people, football historians maybe tend to push that further back to United, Manchester United 20 years ago, not entering the FA Cup, which they were meant to be defending that year in the 2000-2001 season. No, the 1999-2000 season, because they were playing in the World Club Championship in Brazil. I would actually say the FA Cup died when they held the first semi-finals at Wembley in 1991, which was a shame, because the first televised semi-finals were the year before in 1990. The Manchester United and Oldham game and the Liverpool and Crystal Palace games that day were two of the greatest games of football that I have ever seen. And a year later, as far as I was concerned, the FA Cup was dead. That's how the general election feels. And, you know, in those days, the FA Cup, because it was often the only televised live football that we had in this country, it was a massive event. It was bigger than the Champions League. Well, the old European Cup. It really was the game to watch every year in the English football calendar. And that's how the general election feels now. And what is it, 2019? Maybe we're not going to, well, it could be that we don't have another general election until 2024. But how realistic is that? I can't see the next government, whoever wins, lasting a full 5 years. I can't even see them lasting half of that. If we wake up tomorrow to another Tory government, you know, I think I said this a few weeks ago, then I think as a country, we deserve what's coming to us. We've had plenty of opportunities, if not options, to get rid of them. And a decade on, they're still poised to remain in power. I hope I'm wrong about that. As bad as the alternatives might be, and they're not great, to wake up tomorrow morning on Friday the 13th, how much worse are things going to get? How many more of us are going to be shopping in Lidl's? I can just about cope with the queues in Lidl's now. Sunday in Lidl is a no-go. But if you guys who might be doing better right now, if you guys end up joining me in Lidl, how big are those queues going to be? Well, actually, in terms of Patreon supporters, there's only, what, the nine darters plus the 10th figure, the mystery figure, D'Artagnan, to the nine darters, three musketeers. I've had to tell my aunt about 20 times this week that she can't vote. She had, I think, something from the Brexit Party, a leaflet with a big picture of Nigel Farage on the front, and she kept on saying, why have they sent this to me? I said, they've probably sent other stuff to you. The other parties have probably sent stuff to you that you've just ignored. I said, you can't vote. You can vote in local elections, but you can't vote in general elections. Don't worry about this. Let's tear it up. Let's spin it. Stop worrying about it. She loves the country, Spanish Carnu. She is, maybe I should know her by now, as the Patriot. Snood, urinal. I've posted a few pictures on Twitter and Instagram this week. You know, the amount of Union Jack things she has in the flat. She's got the coffee mug. She's got the spoon holder. She's got a T-shirt. She loves this country. She was telling me yesterday that my mum did too. I don't think that's incorrect. I would say that my mum didn't love the country to the extent that my aunt does. I think my mum appreciated the opportunities that this country gave her in terms of, well, if you can count being a housemaid in Belgravia as an opportunity. But, you know, these were things that weren't available to my aunt and mum in Francoist Spain. So this country did give them a lot. My aunt, I mean, it's not a new thing. I remember her in 87, we were in Spain. She joined us for the second half of the holiday. And, you know, she's paler than me, I think. And she was very concerned about tanning. So she kept herself out of the sun. She'd get stick from the people that had grown up with her or who would call her La Inglesa, the English woman. So she's always been very clear about her allegiance. So born in Morocco, brought up in Spain from just a few weeks old. But she's lived in England for 54 years, accumulated about 30 words of English in that time. You know, I can understand why she loves the country. It gave her something that her own country wasn't able to give her. But see, with me, I don't, you know, I'm not patriotic either way. I'm not, you know, I think I'm one of those typical immigrant offspring that is somewhat confused about their identity. I just regard myself as a Londoner first and foremost. So it's interesting for me to have such a patriotic, Moroccan-born Spanish aunt who loves this country. It's not a bad thing. But anyway, made it clear 20 times she can't vote today. Let's move on with episode 210. If you're new to the show, this is how the show works. This is how you can help. If you're downloading the show via iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as it now styles itself, by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to this show, that is a massive help. It will increase the show's visibility in the iTunes store automatically. I don't think there have been any new reviews now for a couple of years, maybe longer. Just 54 reviews across 210 episodes. It's a poor return, and this show will remain as difficult to find in the iTunes store if it does not get those reviews. You can do your Amazon Christmas shopping by clicking the Amazon link on my site, DanielRuizTyson.com. I also tweet that link out, especially in the run-up to Christmas, at Twitter, 1607 West Egg. You can find it on there, and I'll also do it on the Facebook page, which I'll have to click on again because I can never remember it. I did tell myself I needed to make sure I knew it ahead of today's recording. There it is, facebook.com/DRT is available. So you don't even have to go to the website, DanielRuizTyson.com. You can just click on the Twitter links or the Facebook page, click on the Amazon link there. That takes you straight through to the Amazon store, and Amazon recognizing you come through a link. The links back to my website kicks back a small percentage of your purchase back to this show, back to the work that I do at no extra cost to you. So, you know, those are big ways that you can help and support the show. And of course, if you want the full length podcast every Thursday, the way to do it is to sign up at patreon.com/DRT available. Patreon.com/DRT available. For now, that keeps this show free from ads, and it means that it unlocks all the content for you, all the bonus episodes. I try to put about 30 to 40 minutes of the regular show up on iTunes every week, but the show proper is tending to come in around 80 to 90 minutes each week. So if you like what you're hearing, if you want to hear the full show, patreon.com/DRT available. $7 a month. That is a bargain, I would say. That's less than the price of 2 UK coffees. Certainly if you go to the cafe that I go to, a lot cheaper if you're one of these people who maybe thinks they know about coffee, but you're buying your coffee from one of those vapid, overpriced coffee chains that serve you a coffee which is two-thirds coffee and one-third foam. So those are the ways that you can support. Let's just quickly drop in on the cafe, and there'll be a longer visit to the cafe in the Patreon section of this week's show. Just touch in on the cafe simply because of the current state of my hair at the moment. I am deep in mullet country. And, of course, the cafe has its own mullet at the moment. And I think both of us have been each other's worst enemies as far as hair goes, because I think we're both bringing the other down hair-wise. Now, the mullet might see me in the cafe, and he is a very sort of old school guy. He's a young guy. I'd say he's in his early 30s, young guy, but he's very much old school Portuguese guy. You know what? Actually, just now I'm realizing, because I'm starting to feel hungry now. I had a coffee before recording, and I thought, I'll have a banana, so I'm not hungry during the show. Here we are, about 14 minutes in. 15 minutes in, and I'm starting to feel hungry again. What I normally do in the last couple of weeks, I'll record the free section of the show, the regular section, save that to the laptop, so have a little 5-10 minute break, and then I record the patron section of the show. So I think during that interval, I'm going to have the banana. But let's just get back to the mullet. He's got a very hairy chest. He wears the medallions. The medallions nestle in the chest there, kind of Burt Reynolds look. He's got reddish hair. And I think what's happening is we're both bringing the other down hair-wise. I think it might be that he sees me. He thinks, well, he's got a mullet. I won't be alone, and vice versa. So I think when I chop the mullet off, and I think I'm going to need to do it next week probably, he might take that as his cue not to be standing out as the only mullet in the cafe and sort out his own mullet. You might be able to hear the rain in the background. I do have the blinds down. The rain, it does stress me out. There's definitely an issue with the ceiling in the back room, which is where I used to work from, so I'm dealing with that, being liaising with them, and I think it's gonna go down to I don't know, it's all very sort of complicated. They sent me a PDF attachment which I had to look through, so you know, I just got to spend as little time as possible in that room. But you know, I often get stick for being paranoid about things. I just say I'm very anal, I'm very observant. These are things that feed very well into my work, but possibly in real life make me not the easiest guy to deal with, but it comes in very handy in these situations. I'm very good at documenting in this instance the damage to the ceiling. You know, there were roofers up there last year, plumbers have come in, surveyors have come in, and they still have not been able to resolve the issue by documenting it, by drawing, as advised by a plumber, by drawing around the staining in pencil. I've been able to track the progress of the new leak, and it is it's proven to be a long, wet winter, if not a super cold winter. It's certainly proven to be a wet winter. So it's just for me, rain is the thing that does make me paranoid. I think I mentioned that last week. It really does unsettle me, and I would argue it made me a very tense guy in the final years at Mayflower Road in the 90s. You know, my day would be determined by the weather reports in the Evening Standard. I was often drinking coffee in one of the early cafe chains on Platform 9 at Victoria Station, myself and Lopez. They had these fantastic upright stools in there that were provided great support for the lower back, and it was a boutique style cafe, and there was something interesting about just people watching, seeing people, you know, getting on trains, wondering maybe where they were going to, seeing the Orient Express coming into the station. I stopped going there in the end because the coffee got very bad, but I was actually there for 6 years. So in addition to the almost 20 years I've clocked up in my cafe, I had 6 years at the Platform 9 Cafe in Victoria Station. And in my mum's last year of her life, I would meet her there after I briefly moved out of the family bedsit. 6 months, I'd meet her there once a week and we would have coffee. So even now, I've got a lot of memories of that place, but the coffee in there, it just seemed to get increasingly bitter. I think back in those days, I was drinking cappuccinos mainly. I didn't really know too much about the lattes and the tall glass option. So it feels like a long time ago now, but nice memories from that place. And I can still remember, you know, some of the baristas. Most of them tended to be Italian. And like the cafe, like the odd character in the cafe, the little inked-up waiter, the Platform 9 Cafe in Victoria certainly had one or two guys who were short of temper. I think, obviously, just touching on the mullet again, I think the issue is that, you know, having left the hair to get so big and long now, that it means that one, I have to worry about the usual worry about going to the cutting crews in Vauxhall. I have to worry about the, you know, the small talk. And I just have to be very hands-on watching everything they do, because there's more, there's a greater chance of them getting something wrong. I'm going to be in that chair for a lot longer. And I think, as I mentioned last week, as the kid and I briefly touched on in the patron-only special, the problem with barbers is they're great with clippers. They're not great with thinning out your hair, and vice versa when it comes to hair salons. But it may be that I just can't put off the mullet any longer. I mean, more than likely spending Christmas Day on my own. Am I strong enough to spend Christmas Day on my own with a bouffant and a mullet? I'm not sure. That might be too much, even for me. Some Star Wars football news. The Star Wars Christmas Cup draw took place on Saturday, halfway through the second legs of the quarterfinals. I've been hoping to get Mickey Boyd on Skype to do the draw. Wasn't able to. I don't think he was too enthused by the idea, but maybe I think I've got to do the draw for the semi-finals either tonight, if I can get to the two outstanding quarterfinal second legs out of the way later today after doing the show, or it may be that I can't get them completed until tomorrow. But I'm hoping maybe that I can get him to come on Skype to do the semi-final draw. Extraordinary game at the Cloud City. Besbin, originally regarded as Star Wars football's big team in October 92 when the Star Wars Football League launched. They were relegated in that first season. The first season originally saw two divisions of four, the first division and the second division. And they were relegated. Historically, they've probably never recovered from that. I think I mentioned last week that the greatest game in Star Wars football is widely regarded as being the Christmas Eve 1984 Christmas Cup final between X-Wing and Besbin, which proved to be the second-hand Solo, his last game for X-Wing. I covered that on last week's episode. And it went to penalties and X-Wing won. Well, they had a rematch in the quarterfinals. They were tied together in the Saturday draw. First... what am I talking about? It wasn't Besbin X-Wing. It was Besbin Empire. The first leg was at Empire. Empire, famously the only team never to win a trophy in Star Wars football, the only team of the eight never to win. They won the first leg 3-1. Brilliant, brilliant performance. Actually, Besbin had really impressed in the first half, but in the second half, they just fell apart. B-Wing Pilot came on as a sub, got a third goal for Empire. He has been criticised for having a poor first touch of the ball. He has improved. I think he's really impressing with a high press as well. So certainly one for the future, though he has weighed in with five goals this season. One of, I think, three or four players this season who's on five goals. Last season's top scorer was R2-D2 with 13 for Tatooine. Leia got 11 goals for eventual champions and League Cup winners Alderaan. And this season, the top scorer has only got five. So there have been some real defensive improvements this season in Star Wars football. Its critics would argue it's become maybe too defensive, which means next season, rather than having the league broken up into group stages, it's going to be going back to an old league system, one division of eight teams, and everybody plays each other twice. So each team plays 14 games each. I think my knees are now strong enough, and my back. When I started earlier in the summer, I'd only been running for a couple of months. I thought the knees, it might be the Star Wars football impacting on the knees. I think it was, you know, more than likely now, given I don't have that problem, that it was actually the running and my body adjusting to it that was giving me the problem. So I think I can play more games now come next season. So Besbin were 3-1 down going into the second leg at the Cloud City, in the Cloud City rather, on a Tuesday night. And Empire started strongly, but 8 minutes in, Besbin got a first goal. In fact, I think the goal that really made things difficult for Empire, they, after going 3-0 up in the first leg, right away from the kickoff, they conceded the away goal. Bosk had come on as a sub. Bosk, the bounty hunter, an Empire Strikes Back action figure, new signing this season for Besbin. I think he's also on five goals now. And it was the first goal Empire had conceded in four or five games. So it was quite a big moment. And it meant that Besbin just needed to win the second leg by 2-0. It was still a big ask given how well Empire were playing, and Empire in the semi-finals of the league this season. But Besbin went in 1-0 up at halftime, still had it all to do. And a brace from Walrus Man, who's been underperforming this season, it has to be said, the cult Besbin hero, who returned to the club after winning two league titles at Rebels in the early years of Star Wars football. His second was a spectacular effort from his own half. The first time since Star Wars football returned that any action figure scored from their own half. So Besbin beat Empire 3-0, 4-3 on aggregate, so they go into the semi-final draws. It was, if there were DVDs still about, if people still bought DVDs, maybe they still do, I think this would be a straight-to-DVD game. You know, Besbin would put this game out as a classic game. You can probably find the game on YouTube, though, so there won't be a DVD. Got this fixture pile up now. May not finish the league by Christmas time. As I've said, the league format's returning next season. I've just running out of time. Ideally, I'd like to play two games every evening, but it's not easy. I've got to set some big hardback books around the perimeter of the pitch so the ball's not flying onto the wooden floor. I've got to set up the stopwatch on the iPad. I've got to align the goals together. I've got some very old Sabucho goals, which they're not very deep goals, so the ball bounces out a lot. And I've had to play around with the inside of the goals to try and make it easier for me to determine whether a goal's been scored. I've got two bits of plastic at the back of each goal that give a greater chance to the ball not bouncing out. There aren't many Sabucho goals on sale on eBay, and it is hard to find Sabucho goals online that would work for Star Wars football, because they've got these fancy new goals now, and they don't actually go from the crossbar right to the pitch. There's a little gap to allow the Sabucho goalkeeper, who's on the end of a long green stick, to fit in there. And that would be a problem for Star Wars football, because the ball is likely to bounce out. And that's caused many VAR issues in Star Wars football. So anyway, maybe look out for a Patreon-only special tomorrow. No promises, as I say. I don't think Mickey was too enamoured with the idea about overseeing the semi-final draw, but if I can do it, I'll stick that on Patreon. As I say, I don't think I'll be able to finish the league now in time for Christmas. Looking at it, what, I've got 12 days. There are league semi-finals to play, the FA Cup semi-final, the League Cup final between defending champions Alderaan and Tatooine, who are now 6 unbeaten after being knocked out of the league at the initial group stages. I've got these Christmas Cup ties to play. The one thing I have to be able to do is the Christmas Cup tie has to be played on Christmas Eve. That is the tradition. Don't have any tinsel. If I did, I'd put some out on the pitch. I do have a little star, though, worn away star from the family bedsit Christmas tree. It's travelled with me as a bit of a keepsake, and that will be the trophy for the Christmas Cup this year. Staying with Christmas a moment longer, we're 30 minutes into the show now, so I'll be wrapping up the regular podcast shortly. No Christmas cards here in the flat. You would not think it's Christmas if you were in here. And I'm dreading getting Christmas cards. Highly unlikely. I think I might be in line for one or two. I'm dreading the Christmas card being sent to me, because I really don't want to pay 70p to send any, which I think that's the price of a first class stamp now, which is, I might be wrong on that, but that is disgraceful. That is disgraceful. I mean, what is that? That's about a quarter of a latte just to send a letter. Had to write out some festive Christmas tags for my aunt, and one was to the concierge downstairs, who'd rather cutely let everyone in the building know that next week, or this week rather, was his last week before breaking up for Christmas, so he can get his, Christmas presents from all the tenants. He's a decent guy, does a good job, though, to be fair. The concierge services have, over the last decade, been slashed. I think they used to be at least 20 hours a day there, and that's just 8 hours a day now. So just shows what's going on with well, it's actually, it's a housing association, so they claim to be running out of money, though they've built some new properties at the bottom of My Aunt's Road. And I've actually never seen flats come up quicker. It was the summer when I saw them starting to build them. They're two-floored, some village complex nonsense that they've called it, at the bottom of Landall Road by the old church, St. Andrew's Church, which is the oldest building in Stockwell and which is currently closed down, I think, owing to safety issues. And these houses have come up. Obviously, I've got no chance of getting one of these properties. They look fairly decent, but it's just, I do wonder how well they are built. The big block, I think I mentioned this, forgive me for repeating myself if I did. There's a massive, well, actually there are a massive, sorry, there are a number of massive developments across the road from that that were built in the last 7 or 8 years and came up so quickly on the site of an old 60s office development. They were built so quickly that for years the paving stones were always broken on that side, which was a clear indication of subsidence issues. So now that block has had scaffolding on it for at least a year. And that is the thing with these new builds. It's the same with the Nine Elms Monster, the Sainsbury's on Wandsworth Road. You know, always water collecting on one side of it, flooding. There's always flooding in these new builds. They just don't seem to be able to build these things properly. There's always some issue in the first or second year of these new developments. But, you know, maybe that they're warm in the early years of the Daniel Brewers Tyson is Available podcast just before it transferred over to Resonance in 2014. I'd spent, I think, 3-4 months living in a purpose-built flat in Peckham. And it was actually probably the best built flat that I've lived in, the closest I've been to living in a purpose-built council flat. You know, that's the thing about council flats. They might be on crappy estates. They usually are these days, given how the housing stock has become so decimated. But they did know how to build houses. And that was the closest I came to it. The walls were solid. I couldn't hear the upstairs neighbours. It was a terrible area to live in, but it was a nice flat. So where was I? I wrote out these festive tags for my aunt, some for a couple of the receptionists at the at the doctor's downstairs from her. One of them, the nice receptionist who will probably remember, you know, the years when my dad used to buy every single receptionist and doctor presents. And then for a couple of receptionists that she didn't know, where I had to leave the name blank, she got a bottle as well of something for, as I say, the concierge. And I'm looking around here, not a single Christmas card. And I always tend to compare myself to my dad because I think we've taken a similar journey at the same age in terms of becoming relative loners. The thing is, the difference with my dad is he would get quite a lot of Christmas cards because, of course, he had the advantage that he spent 18 years at night school, 18 consecutive years. I've not done that. So I've got to think about a Christmas present for the neighbour. Also got to pick up her OK magazine tomorrow. I forgot that there are chocolates that she doesn't like. If I remember rightly, she's not the easiest person to buy chocolates for, so I'm not really sure how I'm going to find this out. I'll have to worry about that. I know what's going to happen. It's going to be the 23rd of December, Christmas Eve, probably, before I buy the few presents that I'm going to be buying or will need to buy. Let me have a look at my notes here. What have I got for you here? Interesting visual of the week before I wrap up the regular podcast. Friday, 6th of December 2019, 1100 hours approximately. I was heading out southbound on a number 2 bus. I was going to the cafe, I think I was coming from Pimlico Library. And sorry, you might have heard one of my 4 zips that I've currently got on. I've got 8 layers on. I have warmed up, actually. I had a coffee, about a 5th coffee of the morning before I started recording, but I've still got 8 layers on, keeping even the Argos Simple Value oil-filled radiator off for now. So I was on this number 2 southbound from Pimlico to South Lambeth Road, and there was a guy on the upper deck, two rows in front of me, and I have to say the bus was warm, and my experience normally in winter in recent years of getting buses is that the buses have always been freezing, maybe because I was often getting them at 7 in the morning and the heat and hadn't kicked in. I don't know, but it was very, very warm, and he'd stripped off, he'd taken a very extrovert red coat off, and there was the curious visual of my being able to see that he had different levels of arm hair. He'd obviously been waxing, or more likely shaving his arms, maybe with clippers. The upper arm, I was watching from the back, the upper arm, the back of it, had a Neanderthal-like hair coverage. The middle of the arm was then practically bald. And this is the thing that clinched it, because of the way he was sitting, I think... He was leaning forward and had his hand on the chair in front of him where no one was he had no one sitting in front of him. And I could see the front of his arm. I could see the forearm. And the forearm had like a buzz cut, hair growing out. And I thought, that's really poor maintenance. You know, maybe not such a big issue in winter, though it might be, given that he has removed his coat on an admittedly warm bus. But certainly in the summer, I'm assuming that if this guy is waxing or shaving his arms, he'll need to be sharper in the summer, definitely. And that is it for regular listeners. That is it for this week's regular show. I think that's about 35, 36 minutes. Remember, the way you can listen to the full show, all you have to do after listening to this, head on over to patreon.com/drtavailable. That's patreon.com/drtavailable. And just sign up. Support the show for just $7 a month, less than 2 UK coffees, and you'll be able to listen to the rest of today's show, which, judging by my notes, is going to be a fairly long one. So if you're into the longer podcast, this might be for you. And of course, it will unlock all the bonus content, episodes with the kid, with Mickey Boyd, the A to Z of Me and My Dad Live, and some other bonus content that's on there, and videos. So, you know, might be one of the best things that you purchase this Christmas. And if you don't, I'm back here next week, back every Thursday. I'm Daniel Ruse Tyson. This week, I have been available. Get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. And maybe I'll catch you in a few moments.